1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. That is in the New Testament for some of you, if you need to look. 1 Timothy chapter 6. For you that were here this morning, I tried to address an issue. So I'm going to address the issue again tonight. We're going to continue, really, one message. So let's stand. Cliffy, since you're in the mode of learning to preach and teach, let me tell you the bad news. Sometimes when you get done preaching and teaching, you wish you'd have done something differently, no matter how many years you've been doing it. So everybody look at me. This is what I preached on this morning. Are you all ready? In the modern church in America, we got two problems. Our church has one more than the other. Here are the problems. The divided life. Look here, up here. The divided life. You say, what does that mean? There's two forms. Now, the one form I don't think is an issue in our church. I think it used to be. I think it used to be endemic to our circles because it comes from Keswick and it comes from revivalism views of sanctification, which is the divided life like this. Horizontal division. You have lower activities that you have to do. You got to shave. You got to brush your teeth. But those aren't spiritual. Then you have the line, then you have spiritual activities. So you'll have pastors. I don't need to name names. This is common. Jack Hiles would say, I've never taken a vacation and blah, 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 blah. And that was something that was spiritual. That was that means, see, you're not living like normal people. You're living the higher life. Got it? How this fleshes out into the body, out into our world, we just have pieces of it. If I was preaching in a different church, I would fixate on this. You get this. Well, you could be praying. You went on a date with your wife. You could have been spending that money on missions. You understand? Now, I've already said, you ought to give to missions and take your wife on a date. In America, are you kidding me? Now, the other kind of bifurcation, sorry, is Lake County Baptist's problem. It's this way. Look at me. It's vertical. By the way, did you remember I don't care about your notes? I actually want you to be able to reproduce in your own words, in your own thinking, ideas. It's this. Sunday has nothing to do with Monday through Saturday. By the way, it's pretty obvious who it is. You meet people, their Monday through Saturday is just like every unsaved person on earth. They're fixated on television, entertainment, gossip, silliness. Probably don't drink, probably don't do drugs. But they live a bifurcated, divided life between the sacred, that Sunday, and the secular. Neither one of those are of God. Are we clear? So what's this going to do for your life tomorrow? Well, this morning, most of you know, I preached a simple sermon on this. We live all of life and the rest of life. Look at me in the eyes. Quit looking at notes as from the hand of God. That starts transforming even mundane things. We can bring glory to God when you do cut the grass. And then you cut the neighbor's grass, not so they notice, not so you can tell people, because that just brings glory to God, honor to God. You do a lot of things like that. I talked about also we do what we do. We live all of life and the rest of life as by the grace of God. This is something God freely gives us. Tonight it gets tougher. I have to address something because we live in America. You guys don't. We're going to be facing something. We're going to face two or three issues. One of them is already here, the LGBTQ bloop, bloop, bloop. Folks, there's churches right now in Arizona all nervous because is it a mayor down there has passed a law that's going to close down churches? that if you don't allow everything, yes. The other thing we face is just the increasing secularization of Christianity, but we'll get to that. 1 Timothy 6:17, you got it? Charge them that are rich in this world. You say, is that me? The answer is, in this room, with exception maybe of my Pinoy friends over here from the Philippines that live in the Philippines, we're all rich in a biblical thinking. Actually, friends, in the ancient world, no one could imagine what we have. No one could imagine having ice cubes. No one could imagine having air conditioning. No one could imagine having running water in your house. No one could imagine having a shower. I asked the kids in Bible, how many bathrooms do you have? One of the kids had four. When I see my friends in the Philippines that pastor in provincial areas, and I know how they take a shower, timba at tabo, a bucket and a dipper. Charge them that are rich in this world, that's you, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I could speak just on that, but I'm not going to. I'm actually going to preach against that tonight, in a way. 1 Corinthians 10:31, please. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Christ is all in all of life. We live all of life and the rest of life as from the hand of God, as by the grace of God. And tonight we will conclude. This will not be deep tonight, but it will be important. We're going to now move on. We live all of life and the rest of life as with the wisdom of God, because we have a problem. And the secularization is, look at me please, trust me, I am now reading this in the evangelical world. Once these ideas start coming into the evangelical world, it will be in every church in America in the next 10 years. You say, what is it? Are you ready? Let me demonstrate. We already drink in most churches in this entire area. Drinking is okay. Is that correct? Zion was founded as a dry town. The church that founded Zion is not dry now and hasn't been in decades. Do you get that? So why is it wrong to smoke pot? Well, we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing on tonight. Help us as I try to share some ideas that can give us some direction, because we do want to live our lives to your glory. This morning was the easier part. Tonight, it's just take some wisdom to learn how to navigate in the real world. Help us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Under third point, I'm going to read the verses, if you don't mind. So I say this in your notes. We live all of life and the rest of life as with the wisdom of God. It takes wisdom to basically live a unified life. Friends, it takes real wisdom not to divide life up, where when you're at church, you speak one way. When you're at work, you speak another. It's almost like windshield wipers, and I've met many people that do it. It's pretty common. So we have the text. Now these things, Paul says, were written, things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, gripe, complain, by the way, is what that means, as some of them also murmured, griped, complained, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Hey, look at me. I can tell you, if you're a secular person, do you spend a great deal of time griping and complaining and gossiping? That's the by the way, look here. That's this kind of division. Sunday's here. The rest of the week is here. Friends, Sunday should be no different than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a relationship with the living God that transforms every portion of our life. Well, we continue reading. Verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for an example, for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him or her that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Friends, I'm going to share something with you. Forgive me. There's a church in Minnesota. I know the pastor. He's a Central Seminary graduate. He's well-educated. He's actually exceptional. He has an earned PhD. He took over a church where the previous pastor, a Central Baptist Seminary pastor, this is the exact logic he used, okay? Are you ready? So I'm going to give you the logic, and then I will nuance some things. Here was his logic. Number one, I don't have it numbered. I have it bullet pointed. God created everything. Can everybody say amen? I won't go any further. In one sense, God created everything. In one sense. We'd have to discuss what sin is, but we'll continue. Next, God created everything good. Is that a true statement? The answer is yes. I mean, Genesis 1 repeatedly says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And at the end of that week, it was very good. Tov meyod. Very good. Okay, next. God created everything for me to enjoy. We just read that verse, didn't we? Yes or no? Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So here is a pastor of a fundamental Baptist church in a church, look at me, where there's members already drinking. So we're already leaning a certain direction. We're already playing, and he gives them the logic. And here was his logic. Here's beer. Here's wine. The wine comes from grapes. Who made the grapes? God made everything good. God made everything for you to. Therefore, he said it this way. And by the way, this is common parlance if you have your head out of wherever it's at. Common parlance is, therefore, we can enjoy everything. And actually, they take it a step farther. And if you don't enjoy it, you're sinning. Exactly. Marijuana. God made it. Don't you believe that God made everything? Answer the question, yes or no. By the way, there's a trick that's being played on you. That's all that's happening. Actually, there's two tricks, but you might as well learn the logic. This is pretty common today. Any pastor knows once alcohol became accepted, we have no defense against marijuana because it's the same problems. But so this pastor not only believed in drinking and taught his church to drink. Now, I want to say this. I don't mind if you drink water, tea, coffee. Duncan over here does not drink coffee. He swims in coffee. Dada, I don't know, Cliffy. Dada says he was in the Navy, but he didn't drink coffee. And he was a senior chief. I never met a senior chief. You know how you knew somebody went from chief to senior chief? You went from one to two. And then when you went to master chief, you had somebody carrying the two for you. Dada doesn't even drink coffee. By the way, I don't mind if you drink coffee. I've never heard of anybody that ruined their family drinking coffee. I don't mind if you drink soda. I don't care if you drink it diet or whatever. And by the way, if you've ever been to Jewel, there's so many kinds of drinks over there, you can't even count them. It's like... So let's go back through the logic. Can we do that? God created everything. Is that true? You got to define something. Because I believe sin, look up here. Guys, you guys need to discuss it with this guy, this statement. Sin, according to St. Augustine and Thomas Aquinas, and they are both right, is a negation. So in reality, sin is always the perversion and misuse of that which God created good. So in one sense, God created everything. So here it is. Look at me. God created marijuana. Part number two. God created everything good. Is that a true statement? What's the problem with the statement? There's this little thing called the fall. And not everything is good now. Some things that were probably beautiful before the fall are not exactly the way they were. Listen, Angie here, this smart guy right here, he's going to medical school. Do you realize, Angie, sorry, in heaven, there are going to be no doctors. Why? Because there's no sin and there's no curse. And if there's no sin and no curse, there's no death, there's no disease. Friends, yes, God created everything good, but that doesn't mean, you know, you have a little, I got two grandsons here and three down south. I'm sorry, I grew up in the bluffs along the Mississippi. I'd love to take you there, but some of you would scare me to death because some of you don't know what a snake is. Do you understand? I grew up on a farm that I don't think I, except in the winter, that I ever went outside that I didn't see some kind of a snake. And the bluffs, because of the coolness and there's water, you just have snakes every place. It was very common to drive down our driveway and run over rattlesnakes. The only difference was you ran over them twice. You went over them and back again three times. Friends, copperheads. What I remember going swimming in creeks and you see a, how do you know it's poisonous? The head. They got that head that looks like this. And you see that old water moccasin doing its thing in the water. You say, what did you do? Just keep swimming. It'll bother you. I want to ask you a question. Please look at me. God created everything. We say to that, amen. God created everything good. We don't disagree with that, correct? There's two problems with that today, and you better write them down. Or at least this, understand it. Not everything is good like it was. And number two, there's another thing. When we say God created everything good, we don't mean that everything is good for everything. We mean God created everything good, and it was good for God's purposes. So friends, believe it or not, marijuana makes very good rope. And if you go back 100 years ago, all ropes in America were made out of hemp. The problem is when you start smoking that rope. Grief. I don't know if that works or not, guys, by the way. You'd have to ask Mike Rock. He partook of both worlds. He would know about the marijuana and the ropes because he's old enough. Friends, somebody says, hey, God made the grapes. Yes, but you know I have never seen grapes in bottles growing on the grape trees. It's men that perverted this and learned how to turn it into alcohol and learned to put extra sugar in, and you can put extra yeast in to make the alcohol content very high to get drunk from. So when I hear this illogic, are you all with me? It's going to take you wisdom to navigate this world. We want to glorify God, and as I say in point number three, we live all of life and the rest of life with the wisdom. It takes wisdom. Friends, alcohol is already accepted in the evangelical world. Actually, people like Wayne Grudem will make fun of people like us, and he's a major heavyweight theologian. And I've already told you, this is Wayne Grudem's logic. There's two wrong positions. One is the people that don't drink and the other people that get drunk. He says in between is just right. I don't know what in between is. Kind of drunk? A little bit drunk? And I always want to know if the police pull you over, are they going to say, well, you're not drunk, you know, you're not, oh, you're fine, you're a Christian. No, they're going to arrest you and put you in jail. Fools. All right, we continue. So God created everything, yes. He created everything good, yes, but not everything is good today. And friend, even in the beginning, everything was only good for the purposes for which God gave it. Are we clear? So if I took up a, you know, even if we could go back before the fall and I could pick up a huge rock, rocks weren't made to hit people over the head with. That's the wrong use of the good. That's where the sin comes in. Yes, God created everything for me to enjoy in its own for its own purposes. So, you know, when I take a drink of water, it tastes really good. If I, you know, if I eat food, it's good. But if it's cross purposes, we have a problem. So I'm going to ask you their conclusion. Must I enjoy everything? Everything according to God's purpose, and nothing according to not His purpose. So if you get drunk, and by the way, what is drunk? According to the evangelical writers I have, and I have dozens of books on this, drunk is only when you, one guy said, if you fall down on the ground, you're not drunk, as long as you can get back up. Another guy said, you're not drunk until you pass out. Another one said, as long as you don't fall down and throw up, you're okay. And I'm like, these are pastors, theologians. These are Michael Horton. I'm naming names because some of you young guys are infatuated with reform guys. I'm not. I am a Calvinist. I don't have a problem with that. But some of the reform foolishness with drinking is just what it is. It's foolishness. All right, we're going to continue. And we're going to hurry. I spent way too much time on the introduction. Are you all with me? Everybody's with me tonight? All right. I say in your notes, and we'll buzz through this stuff in just a moment. Although life is beautiful, and I do mean that, I want you to enjoy everything good in life. It's wonderful. It's the gift of God. It is also fraught with dangers, friend. That's the reason, since the fall, life has dangers. So if we're going to enjoy all that God has, and we're not going to live this bifurcated life with lower things and higher life, and we're not going to bifurcate where we live on Sunday, then there's the rest of the week, but we're going to live a unified life, it's going to take God's wisdom. You say, why? There's dangers. Things like this. Lusting after evil things, that's verse 7. Idolatry, that's verse 8. And you say, we don't have idols in America. Philippians chapter 3, Romans, friends, whose God is their belly. Belly doesn't mean how big your belly is. Americans are idolatrous in this sense. We are controlled by our appetites. You ever hear somebody say this? I'm not going to church today because. Would it be all right for me this morning to get up and say, you know, I just ain't feeling it. Do you start to see what controls a person? What does control a person? The average American, their God is their appetites, their belly. They're consumed with whatever they want. That's idolatry. Fornication, of course, and that's both physical and spiritual. Let me look around this room. I'm going to say this. No one here is too young, and I'm going to say it in a nice way. You know the logic I just gave you, everybody read it, correct? We don't have time to look at 1 Corinthians 6. But in Corinth, they took the same logic as God created everything. He created everything good. He created everything for me. Therefore, I can have sex with whom ever I want, whenever I want. Paul directly goes after that in chapter 6, verse 13 to verse 20. It's the same logic as marijuana. Hey, I have a body. They have a body. This is pleasurable. It's good. God made it. Therefore, be careful of your weak thinking. Just because you're not a good thinker, other people know how to think you into a corner. And they make mockery of Christianity, frankly. We continue. Of course, tempting God, that's verse 9. Murmuring, griping, complaining, that's verse 10. I say in your notes, we have examples. That's verse 6 and verse 11. The whole reason we have them. We also, next, we have warnings. That's verse 12. And verse 13, which is not quoted, is that great promise. It's a great promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know the verse. I say this, all of life, the rest of life, cannot be lived well or for His glory without the wisdom of God. Turn to the next page, please. I have a bunch of verses on wisdom, but we don't have time tonight. I don't want to spend that much time dealing with them. Now, friend, what I'm going to share now is from the first century. My Filipino young men, you're going to get some of this. Take yourself and go to Thailand. Go to Cambodia. Go to many countries. You do not realize 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. Forget that. We have people in this church from India. I would think Ezra would understand some of this, because when you're in a lot of countries, everything is religious. So Paul says we got to have some wisdom of how to navigate and enjoy all that God's given us without becoming partakers of idolatry, without compromise, without giving up the gospel. This is a huge problem. I don't have time to deal with it all, but we'll just kind of give you an introduction to these ideas. Here is some of the wisdom from the Apostle Paul. I say, looking broadly at the rest of life, we must apply wisdom. We start with this, from the market. Now, I have a colon there. I'm going to say something. You're going to write to the right of that in a moment. Underneath that, I say this. This is in the context of the everyday. The context of the everyday. So, in verse 25 and 26, Paul is just talking about how does a believer glorify God in what they eat. Please look up here for a second. How do you glorify God in what you eat? When you go to Jewel in Corinth, everything you buy there has been dedicated to a false god. Do you believe in those false gods? Do you want to honor those false gods? The answer is no. So he's going to teach us some wisdom of how you navigate without compromise, without being ridiculous. And he gives us three contexts. The first is from the market. I call it this, in the context of the everyday. Meaning this, you need some manok, some pollo, some chicken. Where are you going to get it? You're going to go to, if you're in Mexico, the Palenque. I don't know what you got. What do they call a wet market? Wet market. What? Palenque, the same. You go to the Palenque. You get yourself some what? You buy chicken. This is what Paul's going to say. So number one, this is the first context. Let's read the verses first. Paul says, whatsoever is sold, the King James says, in the shambles. That's very clear, isn't it? The Greek word, markalos, is just simply the Greek word for a meat market. A carniceria, if you're speaking Spanish. You see them all over here. It's a place that sells meat. He says, you go up and to buy your meat. This is what he tells you to do. He says, whatever is sold in the meat market, that eat. Asking no questions for conscience sake. So don't go there and get in the discussion with the guy. Did you sacrifice this to a pagan god? Get over yourself. He says, why? And what's his reasoning? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So look at me, friend. If you go to the meat market, you go over to Jewel, and you know everything in Jewel has been dedicated to the false gods. You don't go in there and get into discussion. Did you dedicate this to a false god? Go in there, buy your chicken, take it home. Why? Because who gave that to you? God did. It's the gift of God. Just eat. That's your everyday life. Don't get all tied up in this stuff. So in your notes, this is by the colon, from the market. Yes, that's your answer. Yes, enjoy. So do you eat meat from the market? Yes, enjoy it. That's your everyday life. We have a second environment, which is, it doesn't use the word temple, but it gives you every concept of a temple. I call it in the context of enmeshment. Enmeshment. And you say, Pastor Warren, I don't know what the word enmeshment means. Guys, yes, you do. I'm going to give you another word. Here it is, a spider web. So are there places, Ezra, are there places in India where you would not eat? You don't have to answer. I'm just speaking to you hypothetically. Are there places you would not eat in India? You wouldn't eat in a temple because you get caught up in the web of all the pagan ideas. And friends, you and I have to consider, we don't live before the fall. We live after the fall. Things have contexts. For instance, I don't drink alcohol. Pastor Kowak doesn't drink very much. I don't have a problem with him drinking. He wants to play those slot games, you know, where you put the money in every time. He's always wanting to do that. Friends, can I go to a place that sells alcohol? Now, I'm being funny. The answer is Yes. But am I going to a tavern where the primary purpose is drunkenness to buy a burger? No. You say, but they have good burgers there. Here's my question. How do you know? Well, you say, Louis told me. Well, there you go. There you go. Oh, man. See, we're hitting home tonight. Look at me, friend. There's certain things. Do you know what a spider web is? If you went to the pagan temple, you just can't eat the meat. You get caught up in more. Now, let me say this. There are certain musical groups that I might like a song or two that they did. But I'm not going to a concert. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, Bach or Vivaldi. I'm not being stupid here. But you say, Pastor Warren, I really like this song. Now I'm going to click myself back to Mike Rock's years. I like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Boy, they had that one song. Down by the river, I shot my lady. I still don't know what that song means. I'm really getting off base tonight. I'm dating myself horribly. Look at me, friends. Hear me. What if you say there's some group out there, I like some of their music? For instance, there's some songs, forgive me, I like some of Adele's music. I'm not going to a concert. You say, why? Because the concert's a little bit more than that one song I like. And I've heard her. She's not exactly a Christian. And I'm real you just get caught up in things you don't want to get caught up in. So there's things that I might say this, I like that song, but I'm not buying into this whole package of stuff. You get enmeshed. You get in the spider web. You say, Pastor, you're going on vacation to the Four Corners. Aren't the hotels there cheaper if they're connected to the casino? I hear they have good buffets in the casino. I say, how do you know? Have you been talking to Louie again? Oh, it's Atong this time. This has really gone downhill in a hurry. Now, friend, look at me. Let's read the verses. I'm going to come back to the colon, okay? Because I actually, what I want you to see is this. Paul gives us wisdom. His wisdom is this. We live in pagan circumstances. We cannot live like a Christian on Sunday and then just, you know, bifurcate and the rest of the week live like a pagan. We want to enjoy all that God has for us, but it takes wisdom. And the wisdom means, if I'm going to go over to Jewel, I'm just going to buy the food. I don't care if Kellogg's, the president of Kellogg's bows three times to the devil. I don't care. I'm going to eat the cereal. The cereal's fine. God made not the cereal, but the products. There's a difference. Read the verses with me. Verse 14. Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And friends, that means you better be very careful you don't get caught up in things. I speak as to wise men. Well, judge ye what I say. I want you to think about what I'm talking about. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the answer would be yes. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Friends, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, please look up here. In one sense, it's just unfermented grape juice, fruit of the vine, and bread. But in another sense, when we're together in the church, we're having communion. We share with each other and with God. Is that not correct? He's going to build on the logic. And if you don't have logic, that's the reason the Bible doesn't mean anything to you. Because he expects you to be able to reason. He says, I'm speaking to you as wise men. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's in one sense, it's just a piece of bread. In another sense, it's just fruit of the vine. But in the real sense, we're having in common, we're having fellowship or communion with one another and with God. Well, he continues his logic. He says in verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. Verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything? And the answer is no, the idol is nothing. or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He says, no. By the way, folks, you take a chicken. You know, you bring your 10 chickens to market. You dedicate them to your false god. Look at me. Nothing has changed about the chickens. Nothing. The idols are false and the chickens haven't changed. But you're missing the point, because more happens in this environment than just the chickens. Let's keep reading. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice, the King James says devils, demons, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of these demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. So friends, please look at me. There's three contexts Paul's going to lay out. One is just the everyday. Go over, buy some chicken, bring it home, cook the chicken, you're good. The other one is, it doesn't use the word temple, but it uses all the language. So my friend up here in the balcony, I'm guessing in India you understand this, because you might be invited to a Hindu ceremony in a Hindu temple, and it isn't just eating the food. All of a sudden, you're caught up in an entire environment that is like a spider web that sucks you in. I'm going to make this practical in a minute. By the way, a very practical. This is life. If you go to many countries on earth, you don't think about it, because we don't really think. Ezra, you know, one of the things I noticed when I was with your parents, how many, everything revolves around Hinduism in India, even food. So you can just get sucked right up in this, and the next thing you know, you're saying, I'm a Christian, but you're having fellowship with a demonic. Paul says, no, you've got to make choices. So in your notes, let's go back to the second point. I said this, in the pagan temple, the answer is what? No. Or if you prefer the modern way of speaking, it's a hard no. You don't go in those environments even just to eat, because going in the environment, you partake of the environment. That's the problem. By the way, I consider this Christian thinking. So if I'm going to the Jewels, I'm going to Jewels to buy food. But if the local tavern has a sale on chickens, I'm not going. I'll still go to Jewel or Walmart and pay more. Are you clear? You say, why? Because the environment's different. I go over there, I go, I pay my money, I go home. You go into a tavern or a club, and there's all kinds of things. Why do you think so many people get killed at these places? You say, we're just going there to have fun. You don't really get to make a choice when you're at a tavern or a club at 3 a.m. drinking. You get caught up in what? That's all Paul is saying. So friends, here's your two first environments. The environment of the everyday. The answer is yes. Go eat. Don't ask questions. It's of the Lord. He gave it to you. In the environment of the pagan temple, or the environment of enmeshment, or if you don't know the word enmeshment, a spider's web, don't go there, because you're going to get connected to things you don't want to be connected to. I asked the question under the verses, are there places we must avoid? Well, in my opinion, yes. Now, I will confess to you, I am a fundamental Baptist. that's not common. I don't think there's certain places we should go. I'm just going to say this to you. I never think that, you know, Pastor Kowak never comes up to me and says, we need to go out to lunch, and that tavern over there, Louis Hira said, makes good burgers. By the way, Atong, I got to admit, you know what, I would say something nice about it. I never say nice about Atong. Atong did in, you know what, last night, you know where I was? At a fish place with Ankit and Scary Carrie. You say, why? We planned it when I was in the hospital and I had a little extended vacation, so we finally got to get around to it. By the way, he introduced me to a good restaurant. But friends, if he introduced me to say, you know, if you go to Las Vegas, I never lost anything in Las Vegas. As far as I know, if I can keep from it, I will never go to the city of Las Vegas. You say there's good people there. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's good food there. I didn't lose anything there. You say, would you lose something if you went? No. I might even see somebody I like, but I'm still not going to Las Vegas. Now, my wife might go to the club, but no, she won't. We better hurry. I'm going to get in trouble big time now. All right, number, by the way, I think we do stay away from gambling places, pagan temples, taverns, clubs. You say why? It's this simple. Please write this down. Here's why Pastor Warren says this. When you go to certain environments, you partake of more than just food. Did you hear that? Please look at me. If you go to a club and came to church the next morning in the same clothes, and somebody walked past you, you're going to smell like alcohol. Because you said, I just went there because I had a friend there. We had a great conversation. By the way, you could have a great conversation someplace other than there, and you don't smell like you've been to hell. You actually smell just fine. You say, you're an old-fashioned fundy. No, I have no reason to go there. All right, I could say more, but time. Number three. The third location is at a meal. Underneath, I call it this, in the context of evangelism or edification. And I'm using words that rhyme. So we have three contexts. And by the way, they all are talking, and I'm going to make this simple. They're all talking about eating chicken. Are we got that? Manok for you guys. Pollo, if you prefer Spanish. I don't know what it is in other languages. But friends, you're just eating chicken. In the everyday, go to Jewel, get your chicken, go home, cook it, and enjoy it. If you don't want to go to KFC, buy your chicken, take it home. The fact is, Jewel sells fried chicken. It's good, too. Fine. Don't go to a club because they have good chicken. Because you get you get connected to an environment. You get enmeshed. But there's a third context. Please hear me. And this is where the Jack Hyles fundamentalism failed every single time. They didn't know what to do when it came to pagans. So they are hyper-fundies. So what they do is, we don't talk to those people. Friends, there are the venue or the context of evangelism or edification. So here it is. Let me give you a simple example. Christmas time, you work, and someone invites you to a Christmas party. Do you go? And I am a real simple guy. My first question is, where is the Christmas party? Is it at a club? I've been to a few places like that when I worked in the hospital setting. They'd have Christmas parties. They'd have different parties. I would sometimes go. I'm not going to a club for you or anybody. Actually, I'm going to confess to you. I don't even know where a club is. You know, I hear about, I don't know where one's at. I'd have to ask Pastor Kowak because I don't know. And he doesn't know either, but Jennifer knows. That's the difference. I'm going to get everybody mad tonight. Now, please look at me. I have been to I still remember a party I went to for the hospital years and years and years and years ago. And it was outside. It was at a park. I went there. I knew there would be alcohol. By the way, the alcohol doesn't bother me. You drink your stupid beer. What bothers me is their third beer. So what I did, I'm a real simple person. I went there very early, and I left very early. And I brought my own bottle of Pepsi, or Diet Pepsi in those days, big bottle. You say, why? I wanted them to know that I care about them, I'm interested in them, but I'm not partaking of the stupidity. I haven't always been perfect on that. Right here at Great Lakes, back in the 70s, for a Christmas party, I worked at Lake Forest Pediatrics Clinic for a year and a half, and then the hospital for about a year and a half. When I was working at the Peds Clinic, and now it's all connected to the hospital, the doctors asked me, and by the way, five of them were Jewish. One of the doctors taught at Harvard for a month every year, pediatrics. You know, dumb guys. These were highly respected physicians, as good as you find in the world in those days. We're having a Christmas party on Saturday. Would you like to come? I said, sure. They said, we're having, they said two different kinds of meat. I bought, I'm a country boy. Where I'm from, you deep fry stuff, and you deep fry it until it's at least as hard as this right here. And I remember my big memories is when I got there, I had a steak on my plate that was as big as my plate, and it was just barely warm. If you listen, you can still hear the cow. My second thing is, friends, I made a mistake. It was on a Saturday. I had to go back to the pediatrics clinic to do lab. One of the doctors was working that day. So we went for the meal for an hour or two, and we were going back, and I didn't drive. And I saw men that I respected get schnookered, sloshed, lubricated, drunk. I saw them doing things with the nurses. And I'm like, and I was stuck. This old man doesn't get stuck anymore. I find out where I'm going. You say, what, don't you like people? Look at me. I want you to read the text, would you? This is the third context. Paul says, if any of them that believe not. Ezra, so you're back in India, Ezra. And a Hindu asked you over to their house for a meal. That's possible, isn't it, Ezra? You work for someone? He says this, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, man, you be disposed to go, which simply means you want to go. Sure, it's a good thing. He says, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Otherwise, you're at a Hindu's house. Don't ask if you dedicated the dumb stuff to the false god. Just eat, enjoy. You're there as a Christ follower. You're there in a performance of maybe evangelism or the beginning of evangelism, maybe even further down the road, edification. You're trying to impact people. He says, just eat, you know, be a decent human being. Verse 28. Well, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat what? For his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. Why not? Because he's denying the very thing you believe, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So at a meal, I call that the context of evangelism and or edification. Could be either one or both. At a meal, the answer is, are you ready for this? A definite maybe. And see, that's not how fundamentalists like to think. They like to have one answer or the other. And you just take, look at me, it takes wisdom. How do you deal with people? Friends, I'm a confrontational person. Some of you like that. Some of you don't know if you like that. All of you need to know what that prevents in this church. That prevents a lot of stupid. You get a weenie pastor and you have collections of problems. But let me just say this. I like people. I want to get along with people. I prefer people to like me. But I'm not going to watch 50 Shades of Grey with somebody that shows up at our school claiming to be a Christian. And since I'm a bobblehead, I can't figure out if that's good or bad. I know what's right and wrong, do you? So here's my answer. In the everyday, eat. Yes. In the context of enmeshment or the temple, don't eat. Hard no. Hard pass. In the context of evangelism and edification, you've got to be wise and ask for God's help and follow the scripture so you have a clear testimony. But by the way, the testimony is a testimony of God's grace and your kindness to people, and that is difficult, very difficult. So my recommendations before we get to point number four. I say, how might this impact our choices? What might we do to prepare ourselves? I've already told you. If a Christmas party is going to happen in a restaurant, go early, leave early. If it's going to be a family gathering, the same. A restaurant, concert, meal. I always go places, but look at me. I am always in control of what I'm able to do. Because I have responsibilities to glorify God, to stand for God, yet at the same time be compassionate and kind to unsaved people. Can I say this? If you just want to be off in your little corner with your holy huddle, don't worry about this. Or if you want to compromise, don't worry about this. But if you want to have impact for people for God and for right, it's going to be tough. And sometimes you're going to find yourself in a place and you later on think, I wish I hadn't been here. Not that you did wrong. It's just you got caught up in more than you preferred to get caught up in. All right, number four. We will finish reasonably quickly. I have said this evening and this morning four ideas total. We live all of life and the rest of life as from the hand of God. Friend, that's where we begin. This is God's gifts to us. We live all of life and the rest of life as by the grace of God. God freely gives us and blesses us. We also do it with the wisdom of God. And lastly, we do it to or for the glory of God. This is Ralph Warren's statement. It's not unique. Other people have said similar things. I believe this, friend. God finds great pleasure in us when we find great pleasure in Him. She's not here now. She's in the Philippines. I'm a little bit bitter. Let me say it in Tagalog. I'm a little bit bitter. Because when Dada's mother was here, she would make me ampalaya. Now, for all of you that have no idea that ampalaya is bitter melon, there was a little joke there. Are you ready for this? If I mentioned I wanted some ampalaya, I could see your mom. She got a smile. She wouldn't say anything to me, but I already knew I'm getting a big container of ampalaya real soon. But friends, that's not the whole experience. She loved giving me, well, she would give me more than that, but she would make ampalaya for me, and she would bring a big container of that. But what was she looking for? She wanted to know if I liked it. Because part of her pleasure was me finding pleasure in what she gave me. Do you realize that the God of heaven has given you everything? And His pleasure, don't take this too far, He finds great pleasure in you when you find great pleasure in Him. Think about that. Dada, you know what I think about when I see your mother? She always had that smile, and she'd kind of look to the side wanting to know, did I like that? Oh, of course I did. I don't know if my wife liked it. I even like guys. I like ampalaya bitter. It doesn't have to be wimpy. I like the strong stuff. Oh, she made the best stuff. And I mean, I don't know why Filipinos don't like it. I'm a white guy and I love it. Dada, do you like it? As an old man. How about Atong? You like it too? How about your daughters? Friends, I'm done tonight. Look at me. Look at me. God is pleased. And God finds great pleasure when we find great pleasure in Him. So would you do me a favor? Forget your stupidity this week. Checking the mail. Doing all your little things. How about this? How about enjoy God? Do you realize how much pleasure? Why do you think His mother made that food for me? Because she knew I loved it. And the more I loved it, the happier she was. Cliffy over here, I have no idea if he can cook, but he can cook one thing. Say, do you take great pleasure in it? Oh, you say, what is it? Fried rice with spicy Spam. And the more spicy Spam, the better it is. I like it when your mouth is totally on fire, Cliffy. You know what? And by the way, you know I like it. And does it not bring you some pleasure when you know I'm enjoying what you have made? That's God! Look at me. Stop the living like a pagan. This life where Sunday you do religion and the rest of the week you just go about your dumb business. Enjoy things as the gift of God. But listen, stop. You've got to be wise. Because we don't live in heaven. And we don't live before the fall. We live after the fall, before heaven, and it's a little more complex. A little more complex. I appreciate you listening tonight. I hope this was reasonably helpful. God finds great pleasure in us when we find great pleasure in him. Father, thank you. Bless our time together tonight. Seal these truths to our heart, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.